A lot of people are still planning to retire in the coming year. So in order to get ready, one of the first things they do as far as their benefits go is to request a retirement estimate of their civil service, or if they're under FERS, their FERS basic retirement benefit. So at least they're going to know how much of their income is going to get replaced with that basic government pension. And of course, in addition to that, if you're qualified for Social Security, if you're old enough, you know, of course you want to get a Social Security estimate as well. Then you have to figure out how much money do you need to replace in order to live comfortably. And surprisingly, most people find out that they need just about as much money in retirement as they did while they worked. So you want to make sure you're not retiring prematurely before you have that good, solid income replacement.
So don't wait till one foot's in the grave and give yourself a week of retirement, but maybe don't do it when you're 61, if waiting till 68 or 69 might give you that much more money.
That's true, Tom. I think federal employees think more like don't retire at 56 if 62 might be better. So they try to still retire at a relatively young age, but sometimes not on the day they become eligible. Many federal employees, in fact, commonly federal employees will wait 3 to 5 years after being eligible, just to make that a more comfortable replacement of their income before they leave.
And in recent years, though, isn't it also true that the last three calculation doesn't buy you that much because the raises have been so small in the past couple of years?
That's true. It used to be if you worked an extra couple of months, not only would you have more service, but your high three would also reflect a little bit greater benefit. But you're right, with the very small or non-existent pay increases in the recent years, your high three today looks very close to your final pay rate. So working a few more months is really not going to increase the high three much. But then on the other hand, once you retire, retirement cost of living adjustments haven't really been that much either. So from that standpoint, pay increases really aren't influencing retirement decisions as much as they used to.
And what about your TSP or other investments you might have? What should you do about those as you approach retirement, maybe changing the mix or something like that?
Right. I think that's the key, because your pension and your Social Security benefit are only going to go so far. What really makes a comfortable retirement is having that cushion of cash, that investment income that you can draw from to help you achieve your retirement goals and to help you tax plan a little bit better. So with the thrift savings plan, many employees do leave the money in the thrift, and probably just as many employees, it's showing about 50-50, where employees will either leave it in the thrift or move it to an IRA. But whichever you decide to do with it, you can do one of two things. You can either create income from that retirement savings, where you just receive another monthly check like you do with your FERS or civil service, or you can leave the money invested and kind of peck at it as you need it. So you really want to do some financial planning when it comes to the thrift plan to make sure you're invested in the right ratio of aggressive versus very conservative to make that money last the rest of your life and do what you need it to do to help fill in that gap of retirement income.
And presuming you have decided, well, you're not going to leave the kids enough to buy a new boat or whatever it is they might want, isn't it possible to calculate, and using a financial expert, to calculate how much you can withdraw versus the interest that the principal will still be generating and figuring out how long it can last you at a certain rate of withdrawal?
That's true, Tom. There's common knowledge is on a 4% withdrawal rate is what financial advisors used to always say that was a very safe rate of withdrawal. But with recent generations in the stock market, gyrations in the stock market, that's not necessarily going to be something that's a hard and fast rule, because we've seen flat stock markets for years on end. We've seen big nosedives and also big increases. So you really want to stay on top of your investments and pick a strategy that's going to work for your comfort level. Because if you're someone who's going to keep your money in the G fund for your entire retirement, taking out 4% a year might be way too aggressive. So you really do. I think you hit it on the head. Work with a good financial advisor who's going to work for your best interest and help you devise a plan so that you can have a lifetime of comfort financially in your retirement.
Tammy Flanagan is a senior benefits director at the National Institute of Transition Planning and her own consultant at Tammy Flanagan, LLC. And so, yeah, I mean, when you think about it, it can be a lot of money or not that much money. If you have $1 million, say, sitting somewhere, well, if you withdraw 3% of it, that's only $30,000 a year,
exactly.
And which might supplement nicely, but it's not going to put you in the Taj Mahal.
That's correct. Yeah, $1 million sounds, and it is, by today's standards, a lot of money. But when it comes to creating 30 years of retirement income, don't overestimate what that's capable of doing. You want to make sure that you're not withdrawing at too quick of a rate, and you want to be well diversified. Even though the G fund, you know, is safe, it's never going to have a bad day, having 100% in the G fund really doesn't allow for the growth that the stock market can generate over time. So again, you know, that good advice with a financial advisor or using one of the TSP life cycle funds. The L Income Fund was designed for people living in retirement, but yet still has 15% of the investment in the stock market as opposed to 100% in G fund.
And Tammy, you've seen so many people that are approaching retirement. Aside from the financial ideas, what are some of the other things they should do in terms of maybe their job or their life or their outlook to get mm-hmm. ready for this?
Right. You're going to have just as many hours in the day after you retire as you do before retirement. So you have to think about, do I want to work and get paid for my work? Do I want to volunteer? You know, what is it that I plan to do with those extra hours to make this next phase of my life meaningful and something that I'm really going to look forward to? And sometimes it's not that you have to have that strict plan before you walk out the door, but allow yourself the freedom to maybe have 3 to 5 years where you really try to settle in to that retirement life, but be intentional and try to find things that you're going to do that are really going to make life worth living.
And if you can find things that aren't expensive, so much the better.
That's true. And some people do change their whole lifestyle. They'll pick up and move, as we did. My husband retired this year, and we've moved to Florida. So sometimes it's a whole new lifestyle in retirement, which can be less expensive in some cases. In some cases, you're going to do more traveling. You're going to do more volunteer work, which could actually add expense. So be realistic about both taxes that you're going to pay in retirement and also what that lifestyle in retirement is going to cost.